How many times after talking with people do we hear them act as though or live as though they had never heard the truth of the gospel, even though they're very, very religious people? I was at a hospital waiting room in a surgery area just last week, and after talking to a woman in the waiting area in the hospital, she began to glorify a gospel, he calls himself a gospel preacher, named Joel Osteen. And I couldn't help but realize that the simple truth was that after talking to her, that sometimes our lips move and our minds are not engaged. You know, you could just see that as I tried to explain to this woman that there was only one church, and how Paul spoke of this one church very clearly and definitively in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. There Paul said that we need to endeavor, all of us, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul goes on to say that there's one body. He said there was one Spirit. There is one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all. And you know, after I said this, I watched her and I warned her that based on what she had said about her own faith, that she was not really a member of that one body, that one Lord, that one faith, that unity that we all need to endeavor to have. She was not a member of that one blood-bought church Christ built. And she seemed to be hanging on every single word that I said. She was intently looking at me, and she was shaking her head, yes, yes, yes. Well, I then clearly stated to her, very clearly, that she needed to study God's Word, that I'd be happy to sit down with her so that she would know the truth apart from the truths of the world. She would understand the one true church that Christ built, and that Mr. Osteen, as wonderful of a speaker that he is, didn't speak the truth, neither in his messages nor to his followers of the one body of Christ. After which, she looked at me and replied, "Oh, that's true. I love that Joel Osteen, because he starts all of his sermons off with such good jokes." Disconnected from the brain. We need to be careful, because it's no little thing when we don't listen. It's no little thing when we speak and they're not the words of God. And so we want to talk today, if we would consider the opening words of our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Walk prudently, God says, when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear. Well, Merriam-Webster defines prudent as having or showing careful, good judgment. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, Solomon wrote, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." He goes on in chapter 14 of verse 15 of Proverbs, and he says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers his steps." And as children of God, we need to understand that when we hear things that are religiously in error, when we recognize or hear things that are evil, that we need to run and hide ourselves from it. That's what a prudent man does. And when we walk into the house of God, then we need to come in as a prudent person, desiring to hear about the things to come and about the things that are present, so that we can make good judgments, careful judgments. We don't want to be like the foolish man who doesn't listen to every word. A foolish person who doesn't foresee evil and doesn't flee from it, but rather encompasses it and comes close to it and makes it a part of their lives. You see, he says the simple pass on and are punished. And we don't want to be simple-minded people. We just want to be simple believers of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In that text, Solomon notes very clearly that we must walk prudently, that we must hide ourselves from evil, that we don't believe every word that we hear, that we seek knowledge by coming to God's house to hear. In Isaiah, he adds to that, "Woe to you who trust in yourselves." You know, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. Isaiah again says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Walk prudently, Solomon says, when you go into the house of God and draw near for the purpose of hearing rather than to give sacrifice to fools. And he describes this sacrifice to fools as, he says, they do not know that they do evil. He's telling us that those who are offering a sacrifice of fools are those who do not know evil. So we want to be not a fool. We want to be people who can recognize and discern right and wrong, good and evil through God's word. And also he says that those who sacrifice of fools, they are rash with their mouths. And they let their hearts utter anything hastily. And so we want to be a people who are not rash in our with our mouths and with our words and our actions. And we want to be a people who do not just speak without thinking. We don't want to be a people whose words come out disconnected from our brains. And so we need to not be hasty in the things of the Spirit of God. The sacrifice of fools, he calls it. Well, when we look at this text, we want to be a people that are not being a sacrifice of fools. We want to come to the house of God, and it's not that we don't want to hear, but that's what the sacrifice of fools accomplishes. The sacrifice of fools, they come to the house of God, and they don't know that they do evil. And in the sacrifice of fools, people come to the house of God, and they're rash with their mouths. They're not concerned about the outcome or the consequence of the things that they say. And they utter hastily with many, many words. In the context, that would be the people who make no mistakes. That's what we want to be, is a people who seek to not make mistakes in the physical world and in the spiritual world. The ability to hear things, they can and they do have great consequences, either for good or for evil. And so we have to be careful what we hear with our ears. In the text, Solomon says, "Walk prudently when you come into the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools." Now, I would like to give you a real-world example of the first one about not being able to hear, of how people can, you can speak to somebody and they can't hear what you're saying. You know, Jesus said that, "Let them who have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And when you sit in front of a person and you speak the wonderful things of God and they respond with something totally oblivious to what you're saying, you know that's a person that's struggling with their ears to hear. And they're not necessarily attentive to the things that are being spoken. And in that case, the tragedy is great. And terror can befall them. And we need to do everything we can to open that ear up, to unstop the unhearing. For some people just struggle because they don't hear. And this is a great tragedy. You know, it's something that took place even after the fact, the night before this great tragedy that I'm speaking of. It's a physical world example. In 1986, on January 28th, a space shuttle named Challenger, and many of us in this room were alive and we were here to see this take place. It was launched, and because of low temperatures and their effect on something small like an O-ring, 73 seconds after this shuttle was launched, it exploded. And as a result, 7 people died. The crew members of that ship all perished. I want you to think about this and understand something. A man named Alan McDonald was there in the control room the night before this event took place. He was the director of the space shuttle rocket motor project of Morton Thiokol, the ones who designed the engine and designed these O-rings. He was the representative from that company. And when it came time the night before to sign the launch papers to say it's okay to launch, he refused to sign the papers. Alan McDonald refused to sign those papers. He refused over concerns of the safety based on the low temperatures and the O-rings because it had never been tested at those temperatures. And he knew that there could possibly be some adverse effect on this O-ring. That same man sat there that day and watched his fears come true. Explosion, and 7 people dead. And you know, all those people that signed that paper and said it's okay to launch, they sort of outvoted Mr. McDonald. No one would listen. They couldn't hear the warning that was set before them. Mr. McDonald wrote a book later, and it was called Truth, Lies, and O-Rings, Inside the Space Shuttle Challenger Disaster. And in that book, he makes a comment about the dumb questions. He says, whenever I do a lecture, somebody always stood up and said, in my entire career, I've never heard a dumb question. He says, but I've always heard a lot of dumb answers. And we need to be a people who recognize the fact that if we don't listen, if we don't hear in the house of God, if we don't hear His Word, if we're not attentive to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if we don't count every jot and every tittle as important, then eventually we're going to be a people like those who did sign the launch papers, okay to launch. We can easily spiritually become like those people who refuse to hear and tragedy befell. It should have never happened. It should have been prevented. In fact, it very easily could have been prevented if they would have just listened to what he had to say. Solomon, in his wisdom, he was very right when he said, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. People who have such a hard time of hearing the truth, and they go about following the ways and the voice of man, and they fall themselves into all the different denominations and religions, they're stumbling, and yet they don't even know why. They don't know what causes them to stumble. We must understand that every little word matters. Whether it's spoken to us, or whether it's something we're hearing from another. And that's why the Bereans themselves, when you consider what the Scriptures say in Acts chapter 17 and 11, the Apostle Paul himself was giving them a message. And what did they do? They heard, and then they went in and they searched the Scriptures so that they could verify the hearing with the speaking of God. And that's why whatever we do in word or deed, we must do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to do everything that we do as representatives of the Lord. Colossians 3 and 17. And that's why God Himself has commanded His people, His church, in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. As we study the Word, we're hearing God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And He tells us to do this. And as we do this, what we are accomplishing is what Peter wrote about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, when he tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks of you the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's so important for us to recognize that there are some, even among the churches, who struggle with hearing. And that's something we can deal with ourselves. Wisdom mandates that we need to consider and compare every little thing spoken by others in this world and in the world Word of God. It's something that we must consider, that everlasting Word of God, and continually seeking and asking God, is this true? Is this not true? Because every little tiny word matters. I want you to consider that we're accountable for every idle word. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus says that you are accountable for every idle word that men may speak. Everything that proceeds out of your mouth will be judged. You'll give an account of that in the day of judgment. So how important is the things that we say that other people hear? And how important is it that we hear truth ourselves? That we come to the house of God with a heart to study, with a desire to be sanctified by that holy word? How important is that? If every little tiny word matters, we're accountable for every word the Scripture says. And we need to consider that. If we're wise, if we're not sacrificing as fools, if we're wise, then we're going to hear God. If we're wise, then we're going to take very seriously to hear every word. And we're going to be a people especially careful of what we say to others, so that we don't cause them to stumble, that we aren't the reason why they're failing and stumbling in the dark. We don't want to make a big deal. We tend to not want to make a big deal over little things. But listen, when we misapply the Word of God, a little thing is a big thing. Spiritually speaking, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 106. In this text, in verse 32 and 33, we see an example that kind of parallels the disaster of the challenger. It's a spiritual example of how little things that we say can cause great tragedy. And to understand how great that tragedy is and how it can cause a person to lose their soul to the devil. In Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33, the psalmist writes, "They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips." Now the reference to the strife, the water of strife, if you remember in Numbers chapter 20, and we look at that in verses 1 through 13, turn there with me. And what we see is a time when Moses is in the wilderness with the people. And the people are angry with Moses. They're angry because they claim that they've been brought out there to die in the wilderness. And the problem that they're facing right now is that they don't have any water. And so, as in verse 6, it tells us Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly, all these complainers, and went to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, he spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals, they drank. And we think about this event, what is the big deal? Moses, the people complain to Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron are upset and angry with the people. They go to God. God tells them to take your staff and go to the people and speak to the rod. Moses and Aaron, they take the staff, the rod, the God, and they went out to the people. They had gathered the whole assembly together, and they spoke to the people. You notice what it said? He says, the assembly was gathered together, and Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, in verse 10. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand. He struck the rock twice. Now the water came out, so what's the big deal? The big deal is that Moses didn't listen to God. He didn't seem to hear God. Oh, he heard God say to take that rod, but he kind of didn't hear what God said, speak to the rock. And so instead of speaking to the rock, he spoke to the people. Why? He was angry with the people. And so he spoke to the people. He struck the rock, which God didn't tell him to do. He never heard God say that. Did you hear God say, strike the rock? I didn't hear God say, strike the rock. I heard God say, speak to the rock. God, out of his love and mercy, he brought that water forth, even though Moses and Aaron, you know, they brought glory to themselves rather than hallowing God, because they said to the people, must we, not the Lord, must we bring water for you out of this rock? They didn't hear God. They didn't hear God at all. God said, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Not you, by the power of God. Listen, what's the consequence here? When you look at this text, Moses is angry. He turns to God in verse 6, and he stands before the Lord. And he gets instructions from God, but he doesn't hear exactly the way God said. Moses, in anger, turns to the people and he speaks the wrong things. He doesn't say what God told him to say, and he doesn't say it to whom or what God told him to say. And it's just a little thing, hitting the rock. I mean, what's the big deal? Isn't that what people say? What's the big deal? We're going to hit the rock or speak to the rock. And the bottom line with the people is they don't care because they got what they wanted. They got that water for themselves and for their animals. And so they were happy. But you notice here that God was not happy with Moses. And we read this text in verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And I want you to make careful note here what it says, that they were angry with me on your account. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 and 28. They were angry with me on your account. And we have to ask ourselves in this case, is the Lord our God angry with me, myself, on the account of others? What do you mean, Dave? What are you saying, preacher? Is the Lord angry with me on the account of another? In other words, is the Lord angry with me because I did not speak the oracles of God to other people, which causes them to stumble? Because I held back some portion of truth for whatever reason. I was afraid they might not like it. I wasn't sure of myself. Listen, there's all kinds of reasons we can make up in our minds and hearts of why we don't speak the whole truth. Why we may decide that there's a better way to handle this. But we can never forget that the power of God is His Word. The way He said it. The way He had it penned for us. And are we... Is God angry with me on account of other people? What I did or didn't say that would cause them to stumble? Or will we be like Joshua and Caleb, who entered into that promised land because they walked according to the commandments of God? They walked according to God's way. Or will we be like Moses, who was kept out of that promised land? Will we be kept out of our eternal home in heaven because we didn't hollow God? Because we didn't speak the words of life to the lost? It's a sad thing when you stop and think about this. By the words of Moses himself, he wasn't punished for the people's sins. We're not ever going to be punished for other people's sins. But because of our own sin. Because we didn't help them with the truth. Because we didn't speak the words of God properly and accurately. His sin was allowing people, or other people's influence, their anger at him, to be an influence in his own will over the Lord's will. He had probably so much in his mind that he just wasn't hearing everything God had to say. And his anger prevented him from properly hearing the Lord. Another sacrifice of fools is when people choose not to know the truth. I want you to think about this with me. He says, they do not know. Again, look at Psalm 106, verse 34 and 35. They did not know. Now, in verse 34, Israel didn't keep the commandment of God. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. God had commanded Israel to destroy the people who were not of the nation, Israel. People who did not follow God. And he commanded them to destroy these people. And God's not angry with them because they did it. He's angry with them because they did not keep His commandment. They didn't know and understand. And the reason is, in verse 35, it's because they mingled, in this case, with the Gentiles, and they leaned not on their own, and they learned, rather, their own works. So here's a people that they didn't listen to God. They didn't keep His commandment. And on top of that, they went out and they started mingling with the Gentile world and they learned their ways. And let me be perfectly clear, brethren, we are to love our enemies in this day and age. We're to love our enemies, not destroy them. We are to bless them and pray for them, that they and we might be the sons of our Father in heaven. We want to be God's children and we want to obey His commands today. And that means that we do good for our enemies, not seek to destroy them. That was a different time, a different dispensation. But I do want you to notice these two reasons that these people had struggled
because they didn't keep God's commands. And that's the same today for us. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we say we love God and we don't keep his commandments, we're liars, the scripture says. Now, I want you to think about that and think today about this narrow gate that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, teaching us that the wide gate and the narrow gates, that Jesus taught us that many people will come into that wide gate, and many people will go in that way because it's an easy way. It's easy because they're not diligent about the Word of God. They're not diligent about putting this Word into their hearts. They're not diligent about practicing and obeying the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, they're going to go into this very simple, open, wide gate that leads to destruction. Because they don't know. And one of the reasons they don't know is because we're not speaking. Because many will come to that narrow gate, but Jesus says few will enter. Isn't that what he said? Many will come to that gate, but few will enter. In this world, the majority of people whom we meet, religious people, they'll never see heaven. They'll never see heaven because they're taught by the world's many religions and the many standards of religion, and they're not taught by the way of truth, by God's holy word. They're not taught by the word of the Lord. And as a result, there are people who do not know the truth that can set them free, John 8 and 32. When we think of this, also realize that this really goes hand in hand with what Paul talks about of leaven, how leaven can come in and become a problem in ourselves. When it comes to our faith, we need to be an informed people. We need to be a people, not a people who don't have answers, not a people who don't know. Because not knowing is a doorway for leaven. Danger comes to us when we don't separate ourselves and make a distinction between worldliness and the Spirit of God's Word. When we begin to allow even the tiniest little bit of worldliness to become a part of us, Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. When he was talking to the church in Galatia, the saints there, they were being hindered by people who were bringing in stuff from the outside, teachings from outside of the faith. They were like the Gentile or the Jews that were mingling with the Gentiles, and they were learning their words. Sometimes when we're out in the world and we're talking with our friends who are part of other churches, do we recognize the difference between the denomination and the Lord's church? Or do we intermingle with them so much that we begin to use their terminology and their phraseology, their religious views? It becomes a part of our lives. In the church at Corinth, immorality was defiling the church. And it had to be cast out. But in order to do these things, we must judge between what is right and what is wrong. The point of this is simple. If we don't know the truth, if we're uninformed, then we can easily be led in error in our worship. We can be led to teach error in our Bible classes. And we can be very ineffective at helping anyone out here in the world to come to know the truth that can set them free. We become like those that Jesus spoke of who came to that wide, wide gate. We become like the people in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. These people draw near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, the sacrifice of fools. Because their teaching is doctrine, the commandments of men, rather than the things of God. I want to bring this lesson to a conclusion right now, and we'll pick it up later this evening. But there's some things that the religious world doesn't know. Number one, that not having communion each Lord's Day is a sin. Your religious friends out there who talk about their love of the Lord, and their love is sincere. It's very sincere, but it's sincerely wrong. And as a child of God, are you ready? Have you sanctified the Lord God in your heart? Are you ready to sit down with another soul who doesn't believe that they need to practice communion, are you ready to sit down with that soul and say, here's why you need to remember the Lord on the first day of every week? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to help them hear and understand things that they don't know? As a Christian, we understand that playing mechanical instruments in worship of our God is a sin. And we have many friends out there in other denominations that have no problem with bands and orchestras and even choirs. But are we ready as Christians? Do we have the knowledge of the Scripture in us? Have we sanctified God in our hearts? To sit down and explain to them why the Church of Christ doesn't have mechanical instruments. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to take them out of a state of unknowing and bring them into a state of knowing? Because when you worship unknowingly, not knowing what you do, you're offering a sacrifice of fools. Are we ready to tell people why we don't have kitchens and dining halls? That's not a part of the work of the church designed by Christ Himself? Are we ready to give an answer? You see, we're commanded to give no offense, either to the Jews or the Greeks, that's the world out there, or to the Church of God. And the point is that if we don't know the truth, if we're uninformed, so that we're easily led into vain worship or sacrifice of fools, then we're harming not only ourselves, but the whole world around us. One more thing. Something else the religious world doesn't know. Changing one jot or one tittle is a sin. And I want to close with this little storybook. It's called Jesus' Storybook Bible. You look at this and you think to yourself, you know, what's wrong with that? This was brought to a Bible study that we had last Monday. And the young man thought it was a great source of truth. Jesus said, "Surely I say to you, that heaven and earth will pass away, but one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." Nothing will change. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, Moses said, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you this day." Think about those two texts. Think about what Solomon said. They don't know. They don't know what they're doing is wrong. And then think about the words of this Bible. Let me read this to you. You see, God knew if they ate of the fruit, they would think they didn't need Him. And they would try to make themselves happy without Him. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without Him. And life without Him wouldn't be life at all. As soon as the snake saw his chance, he slithered silently up to Eve. "Does God really love you?" the serpent whispered. "If He does, why won't He let you eat the fruit?" Now, most of you here, I'm sure, have read the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And I think you know that that's not what God said. That's not an actual account of what happened. And the question is that really a bad thing? Is that really such a bad thing? Listen, there's a religion out there that is powerful and effective in this community of stealing souls away from God. You know why? Because they changed one little word in a sentence of God's word. These people, they changed the word of God, just one little tiny letter. From "in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." They changed it by adding one little letter. Small letter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Oh, it's just a little thing. What's the difference? A God, God. It's all the difference in the world. Because they build a church based on that little letter A. And their church will not be delivered up to God, the Father, in the end of all things. We can't change anything. We need to be a people who know, not a people who don't know. We need to be knowing and hearing so that we aren't offering sacrifice that is foolish to God. I want you to think about that. Think about that intently. I want you to turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and there's a text that Brother Andy quoted. And we want to examine that for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Are you a person that has ears to hear? Are you a person that can understand, to gain knowledge? Then you're a person that can be saved and avoid the burning up of this earth and the souls that will be cast into hell for eternity. You can avoid that simply by hearing, by listening, and coming to the knowledge of truth that can make you free. God says that we had to hear His Word, and that Word would build in us faith. And by that faith, we can be saved. That if we would repent of our sins, that He would forgive us our sins. And if we would confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, before men, and be baptized in the waters for the remission of our sins, that we could be a part of His church that eventually would be delivered up into heaven one day. We can avoid the dissolving of the earth and the sin of all unrighteousness being cast into hell for eternity simply by hearing and coming to knowledge of truth. That's what Solomon said we need to do to avoid being those who sacrifice as fools. I pray this day that your sacrifice would be that of a wise man. You've heard the gospel, and if you're a Christian and you've already obeyed the gospel, you also need to make your sacrifice that which is honorable and pleasing to God by confessing your sin and letting God restore you to His relationship with Him. If you have a need this day, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing song number 3.